There's a whole bunch of rectilinear geometry. There are little, it's almost like you had some kind of machine or former structure or former gadget that was now in ruin, and this is just part of what's left, and it's got all this rectilinear geometry, and the most blatant part of it is that cross-hatched, colored, turquoise-looking waffle iron sitting there. I mean, that does not belong on Mars. And we didn't bring it, and we didn't create it. So what I was very gratified about is that when they called our attention to this a couple days ago, they said, Bell said, who was a member of the imaging team, and Steve Squires, who was a protege of Carl Sagan. I mean, I met Steve years ago when I stayed for a weekend at Carl Sagan's house. And then Steve and I had a very vigorous debate about Cydonia on Charlie Rose some years ago, where Steve said, we'd all love Dick to be right, but, and then he went on with a long litany why I couldn't possibly be right.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, he's the kingpin on a mission which can decide once and for all if this cockamamie idea that somebody lived on Mars a long time ago is right or wrong. So what he said in commenting on this area, which is right next to the lander, when they roll down the ramp, they only have to make a right-hand turn.
And there it is.
And they're right there.
Yeah.
And they put the arm out, and it's got the spectrometers, it's got the little, you know, boring device, the so-called RAT, which is the rock abrasion tool. It's got an incredible set of microscopic cameras on it that can give us microns, you know, size detail. In other words, super, super magnified.
Oh, absolutely.
And they said when they thought this was just weird soil, they were going to go and look at it. That it would be one of the first things that they would do, because it would satisfy several requirements, which is to learn how to drive this. You don't want to drive it 50 feet. You want to drive it 5 inches, 10 inches, 12 mm-hmm. inches. Well, it's all within a couple of feet there. And if they get close-ups of not only the waffle, but the thing next to it, the thing next to it blows me away almost more than the waffle, because it looks to me like the lid of some kind of ceramic cup with geometry, beautifully circular, but it's tilted so it looks like an ellipse. And then right up the edge of it, there is this gold spike with a turquoise cap, a half-dome cap. Looks like a railway spike with some kind of jewel set on top of it.
I know, they're weird.
And it's
weird,
sticking
weird.
Up, and it's casting shadows. And, you know, we can get so much closer with this instrumentation. We can get actual material analysis. And it's almost like in one fell swoop, George, 20 years of my life and this investigation can be bounced forward.
Yes.
Or eliminated.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I don't know about eliminated,
well,
because you still have Cydonia.
In terms of this particular object.
Okay.
Then, you know, a few more feet away, you've got, if you go just above it, you see that rock to the left of this funny patch?
Yes.
Which I must say, some other person out in vast, you know, webland, has suggested is an old algal mat.
What's that?
It would be a dried up, fossilized mat of a former colony of algae. Remember, this was a lake.
That's true.
If this was a lake and underneath us, far down, there is water and there used to be a lot more, then as this, you know, deflation process takes place and the mud dries up and blows away, you're going to reveal layers and layers and layers of all kinds of stuff.
Oh, you could have shells down there. Who knows?
You could have carp. You could have anything around here.
Now, I've got to ask.
So let me say one more thing.
Sorry.
All right, you go north. No, I'm sorry, south. Up, you know, on the mosaic right next to it. You see the little black rock there?
Yeah.
Then you go up further. You see my little square there?
Okay.
Right above the first square, the second square, up.
Yep.
From the bottom. And you go to the right. And you see the double panel of the weird cylindrical thing lying on its side. If you tip your head sideways when you get the full image, it looks, I mean, George, you're not going to believe this, but it looks like a piston out of a 37 Ford.
It does.
It looks like a,
it does.
Remember how pistons have the seal at the top?
Yeah.
Then they're smaller at the bottom. And if you look at the detail, you'll see actual, you know, geometric marks that look like screw positions or, you know, slot positions for the crankshaft. Now, I'm not saying it's a piston.
And you're also not saying it's over there in Death Valley, that it landed over there, right?
No, of course not. We know this is on Mars. How do we know that? Because the signal is coming from Mars. Duh. Now, what is incredibly sophisticated here is that we've got the tools finally to do the tests. The problem is, do we have the political will to do the tests? I have noticed a very strange thing about this mission so far. If you compare it to Pathfinder, we are getting very few images with a technology system that's 100 times better.
Yeah, we've gotten the same panoramic picture we've looked at now for the last several days.
Now, one of the engineers gave the game away. He said that on one of these passes, either Surveyor or Orbit, remember we have two satellites in orbit, and they're relaying data as well as direct link from the high gain antenna to the ground. He said on one of these passes, they can uplink something like 40 megabits of data. That is almost an entire 360 panorama of 75 color pictures. And yet we're only seeing one little segment.
Yeah.
Why the slowdown?
I don't know. Tell me.
Answer, they're in the back room and they're having knockdown, drag-out fights about what the hell have we landed in.
Or what they want to release.
And what they can release. Now, the good news seems to be that unlike other missions, particularly Pathfinder, where they put out crummy JPEGs and we could never really get a straight story, we have at the top of this page a link directly to the inside of the JPO Photo Journal, which is their official archive of all the released imagery. And you can get a 40 megabyte TIFF of this image. So you can download it. If you've got broadband, you're home free. If you have a dial-up like me, it takes 3 hours, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
And what you can do is, independently of anything we have done, you can go out and zoom in through your, you know, like Photoshop or Paint Shop or whatever, and you can see these objects and you can do your own fun and games with enhancement, which is basically contrast and oversample, you know, like up the res by a factor of two to reduce the jaggies. And these things are there.